Well, it's 26 after 5 South African time. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, Yom Al-Khamis. Of course, today is the first of Dhul-Qa'dah, 1443. Let's welcome our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Ustad, welcome to the Q&A this Thursday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today in South Africa, is the first of Dhul-Qa'dah 1443. Read the dua. Allahu Akbar. Hilalu khayrin wa rushdin. These words, Hilalu khayrin wa rushdin, are mentioned in Abu Dawood. Oh Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, make this month of Dhul-Qa'dah a month of khayr and goodness for us, our families, and the entire creation, wa rushdin, and a month of righteousness. And with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, we focus on chapter 20, Surah Taha, and verse number 133 of the Noble Quran in Surah Taha, chapter 20. So the non-Muslims, they would always be giving challenges and trying to say that no, we will not accept until this happens, that happens. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us and informs us, وَقَالُوا, so they would say, لَوْلَا يَأْتِينَا بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ, that why does he not bring, he meaning Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the messenger of Islam, why does he not bring to us, بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ, a miracle, a sign from his sustainer, nourisher and provider. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala responds to their request and demand. أَوَلَمْ تَعْتِهِمْ بَيِّنَةُ مَا فِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَىٰ, what has it not come to them, the signs of the in the previous scriptures. So when all the signs are there that were necessary for them, they rejected majority of them. So why are they now demanding from the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam more signs when they themselves rejected it? In the Torah, in the Injil, the previous scriptures is mentioned, يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ, that the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's nami ismigrami, honorable name is mentioned there, and they're supposed to follow, but they rejected. So therefore Almighty Allah then is now rebuking and reprimanding them. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Yesterday we landed here in Nasrat with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah at around 10:45, just before 11, and then we did the program Bliss of Marriage, and then mashallah after Maghrib we had a program there in Masjid al-Furqan, and that is the masjid there in the town area, and our brothers from Somalia, Ethiopia, foreigners, so we had a 12-15 minutes program all in Arabic. So it was very, very good with Allah's help and mercy. And it was, you know, well attended by the brothers. And then, mashallah, our host was our Riyad Saeed. So, mashallah, Almighty Allah reward him. And then after Isha, we had a wonderful program. I met some of our graduates and students, Sheikh Abdul Majid, Maulana Rajab Motala, Maulana Musa Ali. So all African brothers doing great work here in this part of the Lower Veld. And now we are here in White River. We stepped here by Maulana Muhammad Gardi's place. Allah grant him complete shifa. His brother Maulana Ismail Gardi. So all might Allah Jalla Wala accept all of them. And inshallah, after the Fajr Salat, we will have a program here in the masjid in White River. So that's where we are currently, mashallah. And then from the news background, let's keep you up to date what's happening in the world. If you read the Haaretz newspaper, you will know that the Israeli reporters are writing that the civil war has already begun. So you can see that Israel is every day having some problems because it is a rogue terrorist apartheid Nazi regime with Nazi tactics. And remember, even the enemy, even their allies are turning against them. So we see the progressive members of the Democratic Party in America said if they are going to evict the Palestinians from the areas where they are, so that could be considered a war crime. So now for the American politicians to speak like that, obviously there is an indictment upon apartheid Israel. And you see China also warned them that they will downgrade the diplomatic ties between China and the rogue regime of Israel because of an article that appeared in the Jerusalem Post. So like that, many, many things are going on. We make dua to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala that they help the Muslims wherever they are and help humanity at large. We know that people are suffering in various parts of the world because of the inflation, because of the petrol price and the knock-on effect everywhere. So Almighty Allah have mercy on all of us, and inshallah we become an asset to humanity.
There are listeners from Heidelberg. They say they cannot hear you or they can't listen to the program. Ustad.
Yeah, there's a problem with Markaz Sahaba, so they should listen to Radio Al-Ansar. So I just spoke now, people were phoning me, there's some technical hitch and problem with the Markaz, so inshallah they're busy sorting it out. So everybody who wants to listen to the program should listen on Radio Al-Ansar International. I'll announce it to you also, and inshallah, then we will send out the podcast to whoever requests it, inshallah.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, that my sister has inherited jewelry, but has never worked in her life. How does she pay zakat on the jewelry? She is unmarried, and we don't have a brother or father to support us, Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In a case like that, that when you have jewelry and so forth and real cash, so you must now, for example, zakat is compulsory upon you. So last year you give out the ring, this year you give out the bangle, then next year you give out something else, the locket or whatever. It's not compulsory that zakat must be given out in cash. You must remember zakat can be given in cash or kind. So that is not an excuse. So she, this lady who inherited the jewelry, 100,000, 500,000, 250,000, zakat is compulsory on the current market value at 2.5%, and she has to pay it and give it to poor Muslims, whether she gives it in cash or in kind. So if she does not have any cash, then she must pay it in kind, and that is with the jewelry, no problem with that.
I see Sister Ranelle, says, and she's greeting the team of Ansar. She says, did AK hear about the hospital? There were a lot of monkeys at that R.K. Khan hospital. Sister Ranelle, how true is it, Ustad?
Yes, I sent it to our news team. It's nothing surprising. You must remember in South Africa, wherever you go, you will find strange, strange things, you know. That I'm here now in Mpumalanga, and I see they call this Kruger Airport, Kruger International Airport. So whenever I land here or I take off from here, I'm always amazed, you know. Mm-hmm. I only see one or two planes, but they call it International Airport. So I ask them, but where you fly to? Did you calling it international? They say, no, they fly over to and so forth. So, you know, sometimes external recognition, but if people come and see, then obviously they're really amazed and surprised what really happens. 2010, we condemned it, you must remember, the World Cup. And they told us what great revenue it will bring to South Africa and so forth, how the people will benefit. Go to PE, come here to Nelspruit, go to some other places where they build the big, big stadia and stadiums and so forth. Majority of them today, or half of them, are white elephants. So that is what we do, you know. So Sister Renelle, somebody sent a nice message yesterday that, you know, first they told us mad cow disease. Then they told us COVID. Now they're saying monkeypox. So what must human beings do? Must they go to a doctor or must they go to a vet? So that is what they're doing. So if you go to the hospital, they got the patients there also, and they got the monkeys also. So the doctors will be busy and the vets also will be busy.
Subhanallah. Ustad, there's a listener wants to know from Secunda. They say that Mufti Saab, it's our first time that we are accredited for Hajj. But my husband has booked for 8 weeks, Ustad. Don't you think that's too long? Maybe we should just go for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Is there anything wrong in that, Ustad Anonymous?
My advice to you will be, I don't know which agent normally takes 8 weeks. All the Hajj we went, the maximum they would have is 6 weeks or 7 weeks. So I don't know which agent, maybe they charge you more and so forth. So if you're asking for my verdict or my suggestion, it is too long for you. And remember, the ideal will be 4 or 5 weeks or maximum 6 weeks. So in that way there, you go from South Africa, you spend 10 days there in Medina Munawwara, and thereafter you go to Mecca and you stay in Mecca till 1st of Zulqaada, and then you go to Aziziyah and you spend 1 week there in Aziziyah, and then on the 8th of Zulhijjah the Hajj will start. So that is my suggestion to you. 5 weeks, 6 weeks maximum, and if you really want to stretch it, okay, 7 weeks, but 8 weeks is a bit long, remember that.
A listener wants to know, Ustad, if we are musafirs in a masjid and the imam starts his salah, can we as musafirs make a separate jamaat, Ustad?
It's not permissible if you are in the masjid and the salah started. For what you want to start your own salah? I mean, that is insulting also to the imam. The imam is there in the masjid, and now I'm a musafir here. So 6 o'clock is jamaat here. I read my sunnahs. Now I say, no, I won't follow the imam. I'll make my own jamaat. So that's definitely not permissible. While the jamaat is on, you want to make your own jamaat in the masjid, definitely not permissible. Yes, you make jamaat somewhere else where you're a musafir because you're in a hurry or something. That's a different issue. But in the masjid itself, while the jamaat and the congregational prayer is on, so that's definitely not permissible.
We've got Sister Wendy, and she says that, good morning to you, sir. What's all this about pilgrimage? I'm not understanding. So many people over the world are speaking bad about Saudis, but why are you guys still going to this pilgrimage? Wendy, Ustad.
Thank you, my sister Wendy. That's what I love regarding this program here. We want to propagate Islam in its pristine purity. And remember, we must not confuse issues. You see, my sister Wendy, from time immemorial, and that is from the time of Adam and Eve. So Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam, Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, there's a book and it's called Sahih Ibn Khuzaimah. In there it is mentioned that he, Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, he performed a Hajj, he performed pilgrimage, and he came from Hind, he came from Sri Lanka. So Hind means the old India. Old India means that you look at India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, all that put together. So this ibadat, this act of worship of Hajj or pilgrimage is an ibadat and act of worship which every prophet fulfilled, whether it was Prophet Adam, Prophet Abraham, Prophet Moses, Prophet Jesus, every one of them fulfilled it. And then the last messenger, Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, performed it. So therefore we go for pilgrimage. Manista ta'a ilayhi sabila, if you have the means to go. So Where do we go for pilgrimage? We go there to Makkah, Mukarramah, and next to Makkah, there are places called Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah. So that is where we go. So if you know when the politics of the whole thing, in 1932, the Saudi regime came into power. And then in the 50s and so forth, there was the oil boom and 60s, 70s. Now currently, remember that they are milking and making so much money per day. They are, remember, exporting 1 billion, not million, 1 billion US dollars of oil per day. But if you look at the ordinary person in the street, I want to go, you want to go, for example, I'm giving, so it will cost us from South Africa for pilgrimage for 1 month, 100,000 rand per person. So therefore, people are cursing them and swearing them, and the leadership there are not even Muslim. They're more interested in licking the boots of the Israeli, the Nazi regime, and Nazi tactics, and they're more interested in boot-licking the Americans and so forth. So instead of subsidizing the Hujjaj, the pilgrims, they are fleecing them and they are inflating the cost and taxes, because their counter argument will be, in the past 2 years, 2020, 2021, there was no real Hajj for foreigners. No foreigners were allowed. Only locals were allowed. And now they have to cash in for all the loss they experienced in the past 2 years, namely 2020, 2021, which Islamically is totally haram and unlawful. But the pilgrimage has to continue. Whosoever has the means, they must go. But obviously, it is not an easy thing, my sister Wendy. As you can understand, imagine I go with my wife, and minimum I will need is 250,000, 300,000 rand, 100,000 is basically entry level. We give the agent, and then for our boarding and lodging and transport and so forth there, because you know that we have to do some shopping and all those things. So it's a very, very expensive exercise, and therefore people are really upset with the Saudi regime.
Ustad, let's go to UK. A listener says that if a product contains bovine gelatin from a non-halal slaughter animal, can we consume the
product? Remember the fatwa. Remember the fatwa verdict is this, that all gelatin is totally halal according to our fatwa, and beside the swine, the khinzir, all other gelatin will be considered halal and permissible. That is the fatwa and the verdict. Taqwa precaution is you use only from that which is slaughtered, the halal animals and so forth. And if you want an academic discussion on this, open Fatawa Da'alum Zakaria, volume number 6, you will find it in there. And yeah, you know where I was in Newcastle for 20 years, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, our Mawla Qasim Sema, Mawla Yunus Patel Rahimahullah. So all of them, their fatwa and verdict was that all gelatin is permissible except that of the swine. So therefore, till today, for past 30, 40 years, this is our fatwa and verdict. So we are speaking of fatwa verdict. Yes, taqwa, we will agree that, you know, the non-halal animals, if you abstain from that gelatin, it will be better, precaution and ihtiyat. But we will not say it is haram and so forth, especially nowadays, where you must remember there's so many foodstuffs, so many medication, all have this bovine gelatin. So therefore, our verdict is permissible. And I told you, open Fatawa Darum Zakaria, and volume 6, you will find the academic discussion there.
Ustad, let's go to Brother Joshua. I'm not understanding the question. Maybe Ustad could inshallah explain to us. He says that, my name is Joshua. Please tell us about your Holy Bible. You'll say it's from 1400 years ago. Don't you think it's a bit boring, because you haven't changed your Bible up to now, whereas our Bible has changed twice? I think you guys need to catch up with what's happening currently. Please elaborate. Joshua, Ustad.
Very good question, my brother Joshua. Joshua is Yusha. Yusha was the companion and the attendant of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam. Joshua, when we pronounce your name according to our terminology, it means a handsome person. So let us juxtapose the two and see what you say. So our Quran Sharif, our what you say Bible, we call it the glorious Quran. So it comprises 6,236 verses. It's 114 chapters. It's the direct speech of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. It's not authored by creation or men or something. So Almighty Allah was, is, will always be. And the message of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala was, is, will always be. Perfect for all times, all places, all circumstances. Hence, there's no need to make any amendments. When you have a constitution or a book or a scripture where there's interpolation, additions, omissions, so there you need different versions. Now look at your Christian Bible, you Joshua. You have so many different versions of the Bible that even the virgins don't want to accept it. They confuse and they are few. Fuses are blown. I give you example. If you come to my house where I live, now I'm here in the Lowveld in White River currently. But if you meet me one day, I will show you what I have. King James Version. Then I have New International Version. Then I have the Arabic Bible, Kitabul Muqaddas. So like that, I have four, five, I don't know how many different Bibles. And you will see some of the verses are accepted by the Catholics and rejected by the Protestants. So remember this, your argument will be valid when you have a constitution that is man-made. But our Quran is the direct speech of Almighty Allah, and Almighty Allah was, is, will always be more perfect than the word perfect. So every day the sun rises, every day the sun sets, now is the new moon, the crescent. You say, no, this is carrying on for 1400 years, carrying on for 1000 years, carrying on for million years, so now we must change it. But it's perfect, what is wrong with it? So there's no need, you only start changing when there are defects in it. So our, and we are the only people on the face of the earth, and this we challenge the Pope, and this we challenge the Chief Rabbi of Israel, the rogue Nazi regime, and we challenge the Hindus in India and everywhere in the world. We challenge the Buddhists in all parts of the world. Show us where is your scripture, your book, which was revealed by God Almighty in the original language, and you have people who have memorized it. We have not one, two. We have millions of people, male, female, adult, and children, who have memorized the entire noble Quran, no addition, no omission, no interpolation, and that miracle continues, my brother. Therefore, when we ask the Pope, that Pope, you read the Bible in the original language, so the answer came, there's no hope for the Pope.
Subhanallah. I see brother Ahmadu. Of course, he was Alfred, but alhamdulillah, now he's Ahmadu. He says, Assalamu alaikum to you, Mufti Saab. I was told not to eat by my friend's house. Could you please explain to me? He's a Jew, but a good Jew, and he buys the meat from a Muslim butcher. Ahmadu, Ustad.
Remember, my brother Ahmadu, that you embrace Islam. That's excellent. And you must know the following laws. Number one is this. Muslims supposed to consume that halalan tayyiba, that which is halal, lawful, and tayyiba, that is pure and wholesome. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Islam, said, Da'ama yuribuka ila mala yuribuk. Leave that which puts you into doubt and offer that in which there is absolutely no doubt. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. So now let us see, vis-a-vis, you are Ahmadu, you are a Muslim. Yeah, you went now. To who you went to? You went to the Jew, David. You see, David. So David you went to. So he's a Jew. I'm just using David as an example. So he says that no, they believe in kosher. So why did Almighty Allah tell them about kosher? Why does dietary laws? Quran Kareem teaches us. ذلك جزيناهم ببغيهم. That Almighty Allah says we're punishing the Jews because they are a nation, not chosen nation. They are a nation who are cursed by Allah. They are a nation who will be punished by Allah right till the day of justice. Chapter 7, verse 167. Why is Allah punishing them? ببغيهم. Because of their rebellious nature. Why did Hitler sort them out to a great extent? Not that we condone it, but if you ask the rabbis and you ask them, they were the ones who were promoting homosexuality. They were the ones who were promoting pornography. They were the ones who were charging exorbitant amounts of interest in Germany. And therefore, they got kicked out from 79 different countries. So remember Jane Gardiner's article, you can read. So therefore, Allah is punishing them because they are a rebellious nation. They rebel and disobedient to Almighty Allah, rebel against Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the prophets and messengers. They rebel against humanity. So I traveled on El Al. It was in 1989 from Cairo to Tel Aviv. And I looked at how they work with their kosher. So the mockery of the Jewish law, Ahmadu, is this. They'll have stringent conditions for kosher. Then they'll bring alcohol. And they will tell you that this is kosher alcohol. So that makes a mockery of it. Therefore, when the Muslim told you, you cannot eat the meat by a Jew, a Christian, or any non-Muslim, for example. Even if they tell you they are buying from a Muslim, you must remember butcher. So all that would not be permissible, not acceptable, because there will always be the element of doubt. Maybe in that, remember, they mix some other things and so forth. So you must stay away from that. You must know what is input and output. What goes in your body, if it is tayyibat and pure, kulu min at-tayyibat wa amalu salihah, that consume that which is pure and wholesome, that will motivate, inspire you to do good deeds. So that is what Islam teaches us.
A listener says that why is our government not protesting against the Jutlas or putting sanctions or even kicking them out of South Africa because they were the first to cry against racism and apartheid, Ustad?
Oh, remember, our government, the less you speak about them, the better. As long as people give them money, then zonke lungile. You think they're going to worry from where they get the money? If they get the money from a communist, they get from a Zionist, they get from a Jew, they get from a Muslim, from any person, atheist, they will say zonke lungile. Everything is fine. So, because money speaks all languages. So that is we know. Therefore, we must remember Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah wrote a wonderful sentence. He passed away in Shawwal in 1976. He said that this Ummah, this Muslim Ummah especially, and the human race, what happened to them? Aurat aur daulat ne ummat ko tabah kar di. Women and money have destroyed nations and generations. And you can see what is happening today. A person must be blind not to see what is happening.
Ustad, I've got Brother Travers. He says, just a quickie. You guys' calendar follows the sighting of the moon, right? So how do you prepare your calendar a whole year in advance as you don't know which day the moon will be sighted? Travers, Ustad.
Excellent question, my brother Travers. I want you that you must go to our noble Quran and you must write this reference I'm giving to you now. Chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, the chapter regarding repentance, verse number 36. Almighty Allah speaks of our calendar and see, Travers, what a travesty of justice it is that how the Westerners and the English, they stole everything from Islam. So I read the verse for you, chapter 9, verse 36. Inna iddat ash-shuhuri inda Allahi 12 shahra. Verily the amount and the number of months by Almighty Allah are 12 lunar months. Fi kitabillah, this is already ordained, prescribed by Almighty Allah. In the book of Almighty Allah, Yawma khalaqa samawati wal ard, the day Almighty Allah created the heavens, the earth, the universe. So our Our calendar is from time immemorial, 12 lunar months. From the 12 lunar months, Minha Arba'atun Hurum, there are four sacred months. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Zul Qa'dah wa Zul Hijjah wa Muharram and Rajab. The hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Now, why do we follow the lunar calendar, Travis? You see, in South Africa, you follow Christianity. So your Christmas, your New Year, your entire life, 70, 90, 100 years, you will have in summer. Go to America, go to Canada. I've been there December, January. And it's minus 18, minus 20. They can't even come out of their houses. It's so cold and the snow and so forth and so on. So therefore, Islam chose a system that is fair to humanity. We have fasting, we have pilgrimage, we have celebrations, our Eid. So everybody now has a fair chance. In my life, I went through two complete cycles. We get fast in midsummer, we get fast in midwinter, and the whole cycle went twice. So that is the beauty of Islam. Islam is for all cities, all countries, all continents. So that's why Islam chooses the lunar calendar. So when we prepare the calendar for the entire year, then you will find a note there, subject to the sighting of the crescent, subject to the sighting of the moon. If you look at the calendars in South Africa, now 99% of them had it that 1st of June will be 1st of Zulqa'dah. But lo and behold, our moon samis, our people were very, very busy, so worried about the petrol price and the increase and so forth. So for some reason or the other, that because I know where we were in Johannesburg, how then the conditions were very clear. And it seems that nobody, I phoned few people who normally see the moon, and then they said they also were looking. So be that as it may, so the calendar is showing, my brother Trevor, 1st June, 1st Zulqa'dah in South Africa. But it did not happen. So today, which is 2nd June, it will be now 1st of Zulqa'dah. So that's why we have that condition always, and that note subject to the sighting of the moon.
Ustad, I've got Mr. Bishop. He says that we all need of prayers. So please pray for me and my family, Mr. Bishop Ustad.
Yes, we pray for you, Mr. Bishop, for you, your family, and the entire human race. I'm here in White River, and mashallah, I thought it'd be warm here, but it's nice and cold here also, like our areas there, Gauteng. So this morning, my eyes opened very early, so I started my prayer, and I prayed for all of you, my brother Bishop. And believe you me, I don't have to flatter you. I pray to Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, these people are good people, you give them hidayah, you give them guidance, and you teach them and lead them to the right path. And inshallah, you keep on listening, then Almighty Allah will give us the guidance, provided we are sincere. But if you want to worry, Mr. Bishop, with due respect, this one is threatening me, that one is threatening me, then you won't make much headway. The tap is open. You have to put the glass, the cup facing the tap. Don't put the glass and the cup upside down, then nothing will come inside. So inshallah, today between 8:30 and 9 will be our brother Abu Bakr Rawat, inshallah. He will inform the listeners regarding the Hajj and the pilgrimage. Then between 11 and 12, inshallah, Maulana Zahid Khan and myself, we will be discussing the places to visit in Makkah Mukarramah and the surroundings. And then between 1 and 2, inshallah, will be the tafsir of the Noble Quran. We will be completing Juz 26, that is Surah Zariyat, and verses 19 to 30. So that will be, inshallah, what will be doing today with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah.
Ustad, our time is up. Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. I see Brother Luke also, he's with us this morning. And he says, do you guys are having a slight problem? He says he cannot hear us this morning. Luke, Ustad.
Inshallah, it will get sorted out. Make dua. Right, we're going now to the masjid. Read salat. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.